Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Day 5 and day 6 of training camp in the books. So much to talk about. Injuries. Who's moving up the depth chart? Who's falling out of favor? The Bills season is just around the corner, folks, and we got some things to talk about. So, folks, this is the this is the Rico Report, the Buffalo Fanatics. Let's roll. Folks, welcome to another edition of the Rico Report. Listen, we're back at it again on Tuesdays. The season's about to ramp up. Offseason's coming to, I mean, pretty much we're in the offseason, but it's coming to a close. You know what time it is. Listen, August 10th is the first preseason game, so we got to get things going on. The blue and red game this Friday. Is it this weekend? What's going on? So we got things to talk about. There's things that are developing. So let's get right into it, man. Right off the rip. If you're looking at that safety position right now was critical to begin with, knowing that Jordan Poyer's gone. Micah Hyde is in the wind. We don't know if he's in or out. He's just staying ready. You already know what time it is. When it comes down to players that are near the end of their careers, they're potentially not, I wouldn't say looking, but if an opportunity comes about, they're ready. They have to stay ready. And Micah Hyde is in those positions. He's in that position where all it's going to take is Brandon Bean to say, hey, are you ready to go? Because we need you. And if we are making that phone call, it's not something that we should be proud of in that sense. We love Micah Hyde, but we wouldn't be in a great position by giving him a phone call. So lo and behold, let's set up what we're looking at the safety position. So right now, Mike Edwards is dealing with a week-to-week hamstring injury. If you guys have ever dealt with hamstring pull, tear, whatever you have done, it is a slow recovery. And if you really want to be up to optimal potential, your optimal athletic ability, you got to be all the way on point. And who knows how severe this hamstring injury is. So that's got Mike on a week-to-week basis. I would have been a lot more comfortable if it was day-to-day, but this is week to week, so who knows how long it's going to take for an older safety to get back on track. So what does that leave us with? Well, Taylor Rapp has been doing his thing. The physical safety that we have, that we signed to a multiple-year deal, he's been doing his thing. He's been healthy. Great to have. Damar Hamlin is doing his thing. He's been in and out of the lineup. Do we really trust that he is truly in the mix to get that that starting position next to Taylor Rapp, that we still have to see that play out. So what's been great has been the rookie Cole Bishop has been coming along. He's been making plays and mentally sharp, mentally in his playbook, knowing that if he stays healthy, he could be the guy to take that starting role if Mike Edwards doesn't come back healthy enough. But lo and behold, he goes down. So Bishop goes down to injury in camp. And it's nothing into the lower extremities. It seems to be inadvertent, friendly fire, if you will. And I think he got a shot to the ribs slash arm. The details are not out just yet, unless they've come out and I haven't seen it yet. But Taylor Rapp is going to be out sometime. I hope it's very short. I hope it's not something where we're looking to sign somebody else further more than signing safety Kareem Jackson. But here we are. So Brandon Bean has made a transaction, knowing Mike Edwards is going to be week to week. So he brings in Kareem Jackson. So Kareem's going to be taking some time to obviously get familiar with this team and get familiar with the playbook. 15-year veteran. I mean, he's got some mileage on him. And good on you. If you can be in the league 15 years, my goodness, man, that's three times as many as the average guy that's on this, a little more than that, actually. So kudos to him. But, like, most folks are probably asking themselves, all right, how severe is this Cole Bishop injury? Are they worried about it? Is it something that you need to, like, potentially look into bringing somebody else on? There are some candidates that are out there in free agency, one name in particular, that most teams in the NFL are saying, why is this safety still available? And that's Simmons. Why is he still available? Safety Simmons is out there. And whether he's waiting for the right scenario, right situation, that it seems to be a playable situation. But right as of right now, our safety room is somewhat depleted. If you think about it, you got Taylor Rapp, you got Hamlin, and you've got obviously Cole Bishop that's dealing with somebody, Mike Edwards, that's going to be week to week. So we're sitting here with a already in question position group, and now you add in these injuries. So obviously that doesn't make anybody feel good about where we sit at. But at the end of the day, if Brandon Bean feels comfortable and Brandon Bean doesn't feel that he needs to, break glass and go and get the big dogs, and he feels good about what he's got right now, you got to trust the process. And that's exactly what has to take place here. We got to trust in what he's trying to do right now. Mark Cardinal saying, hey, we should jump in and just sign Hyde and call it a day and just go from there. We also got to let these things play out. We're, 6 days into camp? So obviously there's going to be some players that get banged up. But at the end of the day, if Brandon Bean feels comfortable with what he's got, no need to break glass just yet. I don't think we're at that position. Now, Hamlin hasn't been playing horrible. I mean, from the things that people are talking about that are at camp watching, and from the articles that we're all reading, it's not that he's been awful. He hasn't been. He's been getting time with the ones, but is that by design? Is that just to kind of find out who is going to stand out as the safety next to Taylor Rapp? So Hamlin's getting, he's been getting his time. He's got some games under his belt. It's not like he's fresh off. He's got some games under his belt, and this is going to be his official season that he can put the, like he said in his own words, put the emotions aside. Put that whole feeling of, okay, I'm coming back. I'm putting that whole ordeal behind me and let's go. So now he's a year removed. So maybe he comes back to the old Pitt hard hitting safety that he was at Pitt and be next to Taylor Rapp. But we signed Cole Beasley. We signed Cole Bishop. So Bishop is the one that we want to see. But I mean, he's got to develop and get time and get into the playbook. And it seems like he's doing that. My man Pierre brought this up. He goes, listen, man, when I'm listening to these press conferences and I'm listening to McDermott speak, and sometimes you gotta sieve through the things that McDermott is saying. And sometimes he has he tips his hat a little bit, or he tips his hand a little bit is what he was saying. And basically saying, listen, man, he's saying, we don't want to, when he put, pretty much paraphrasing here, where we're slowly developing these players, Cole Bishop's more specifically, and he'll get there and we'll see how this all plays out and so on and so forth, right? But then on the other hand, he'll say he's really grasping that playbook, really smart, Fam, if he's already saying he's a really smart guy and this, there is just an opportunity for Cole Bishop to steal that spot. And with Mike Edwards out week to week and this unfortunate injury, and if he can get back in time and get back in and it's not that big a deal, I could see Cole Bishop stealing that spot right next to Taylor Rapp. And away we go. So that might be your 1-2 punch. And I'm looking forward to it, man. You got a big size safety that can match up with the big tight ends, that can get into the box, that can do all the things that we need him to do with this multiple defense that McDermott's going to be bringing to your table. And this could be big things. Big things coming. So the safety room is a bit of a it's a big question mark on it, but we got to let a couple days go by and see how severe and how actually not impactful this injury could be. Maybe it doesn't impact anything and it's just a couple days he needs off and away we go. Because you know how this plays out, right? Training camp, the slightest nick or whatever, we're going to take you out just to take precautionary reasons to keep you out. So I can see that might be the scenario in this case here. So big shout out to Cole Bishop. I hope it's nothing serious. And he's able to go down and take his spot potentially as the starting safety next to Taylor Rapp. That's what we're looking for. You want your best 53 on this team. You want your best players, your best 11 on the field. And if Cole Bishop happens to be the best player, you know what I'm saying, suited for that position next to Taylor Rapp, you got to put him in. Damn all that rookie talk and damn all that. You know what I mean? He's got to wait. Nah, man, it's about can you grasp this playbook? Can you jump in and play this game? And are you able to be an impact right off the bat? And from what I've been reading and seeing, seems like he's doing a decent job. It looks like he's doing a decent job. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. I mean, camp is bizarre, man. There's some players that just jump out of nowhere and you're like, okay, let's play ball. So we'll see. We'll see how this all shakes out in the end. But right now, I'm rooting for Cole. Get healthy. I'm rooting for Mike Edwards to get healthy. We need everybody to make this this camp an ideal camp. So that way there's a true competition. It's really not a true competition when guys are getting banged up and you give a position to somebody just by default. But in Cole Bishop's position, he was already starting to take that leap to be that guy. So we'll see. We'll let these days come about and play out, and we'll go from there. Let's flip to the offensive side of the ball. And we're going to talk about Connor McGovern. Well, it turns out Mr. McGovern has been having some. Listen, it sounds like the way the headings are, you know what I mean, around the internet, talk about Mike McGovern having some snap issues with Josh Allen. If you start reading up on certain things in depth and start listening to a few people and really talk about it, there was just a few moments of that happening. Now, for the most part, from camp, it's been pretty solid between the two. But it's something to pay attention to, because now that it's being mentioned, it didn't just happen one time. It's happened multiple times on the same day. So now you're like, all right, fam, like, what's going on? I mean, is the pressure getting to you, or it's just a matter of you guys working the bugs together? It's the first time you guys are really truly working together. I think they'll work it out. I think they'll get back on track, but it is something to not scoff at. You want to kind of pay attention to what takes place, because what is sitting in the back kind of chilling is Mr. Van Pran Granger. So he's just waiting. That's his position. He's waiting to be there and get his opportunity. So I can't see that happening anytime soon. I think McGovern is going to be the guy to go, but it is something to pay attention to. So we want to make sure that these two are in lockstep. They're on top of things, and we don't come into these situations late in the season or late in the game where we really need Josh Allen to step in and do what he does, and we're set back with a bobbled snap. Nothing worse than having that. We didn't have any of those issues last year. Last year, Mitch Morris was on it. I mean, we know it. He's a veteran guy. So McGovern saying that, listen, it feels good to be back home, meaning back home at his original position at center. Bro, you better get on that. Because Cedric Van Pran Granger is right next to you. Just watch it. Hey, man, just give my opportunity. I'm jumping in there. So let these boys get at it. I don't think it should be an issue. I think they'll get back on it. I think they'll get back on track and figure things out. But it is worth noting that there's been some snap issues going on with quarterback Josh Allen. and new center Connor McGovern. So we'll see how that all plays out at the end. But I think these guys will get on side. They're professionals, right? If they gotta sit at practice after practice while everybody's gone and they just go back and forth and make sure that they get things right, they will. You know they will. The leadership from Josh Allen has mounted. It's much higher. He's much more involved with his guys. So from what I'm hearing, that I can't see being an issue going forward. I think they'll nip that right away and get things back on track. So, but worth mentioning, definitely worth mentioning in camp. Let's go to the defensive side of the ball. We got to go to the defensive side of the ball and really start praising some of the guys that are stepping up. Greg Rousseau is having a phenomenal camp. He's having a solid camp. I'm looking for a big year from Greg Rousseau. Big year from Greg Rousseau, man, because, I mean, listen, first round draft pick, and you got your counterpart that's in Miami obviously nursing an injury, but when Phillips was doing his thing, he was on the money. Everyone, they obviously understood the assignment. Miami's got one of the better pass rushers in the game right now in Phillips. And with Greg Rousseau watching all this play out, he's a dog himself. So this year is a massive year for Greg Rousseau and his defensive line. And I'm loving what I'm been hearing and seeing and reading from Greg Rousseau in camp. He's been doing a very good job. So we've got ourselves a staple on one side. And I'm hearing great things from Von Miller. Von Miller today had a fantastic day, almost feeling like himself, like old Von Miller at age 35. How crazy is that? So listen, at the end of the day, when it comes to this pass rush and what this defensive front is going to be bringing to the table, we already know what's on the roster. We already know who does what and what they're great at. The one thing that was going to be an X factor this year was, how does Von Miller return to the line? Is he going to be old Von Miller and come back to it and give us, you know, double-digit sacks like he's normally used to? Or is it old Von Miller where his age shows? So we're trying to figure out what Von Miller is going to show up. And from what we've been hearing and seeing, and you guys have been seeing it, Von Miller's feeling like his old self. He's talking like his old self and producing like his old self. And today was no different. He was coming out and being an absolute hazard to the offensive line. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Von is able to produce this year alongside Greg Rousseau, alongside AJ Epenesa. So these boys, it's this defensive front has the potential to be very good. Especially with you have the interior line, Ed Oliver's gonna have a massive year. I feel good about what Ed Oliver's gonna do. Daquan Jones is back, DJ's back. You know what I'm saying? You got the Duke that we drafted. So we've got some really good potential in the interior, and we got some really good potential on the outside. Javon Solomon being on the outside as well. Klein is making some big noise. So there's going to be some great competition on the line. So Von is going to be solid this year. If he's feeling good and looking good, and we can get double-digit sacks from Von from my man Bobby Ray, bro, that makes life 10 times easier for the back end, especially with a depleted safety position. So if we're getting pressure and we're putting it on these guys and they can't have any room to maneuver, bro, it's going to be a problem this year. And this defense is going to be back to a prominent top 10 defense. That's where I want them to be. They've been there for so long. We want them to get back into that prowess to be one of the top defenses in the game. And we've got a great defensive coach. We've got a great defensive coordinator. So let's roll, man. So Von Miller, Greg Rousseau coming alive and doing big things. And the interior line has been solid. Ed Oliver has been he's been consistent all training camp. So I'm looking for a massive year from this defensive front. So kudos to Brandon B. Kudos to Sean McDermott developing these players and getting these guys ready and on track. The real question becomes, how many are we keeping? How many defensive linemen do we keep when it comes to this team? I mean, if you're looking at it right now, you've got your Von Miller, you got your Greg Rousseau. All right. AJ Epenesa, I mean, got his extension, so he's going to be with the squad. All right, so there's your three linemen there. Javon Solomon, being number four. Do we keep five? Are we keeping six DNs? So those are the things. And Cameron Klein apparently is making some noise to push to the edge. You got Tuhill that's been making some noise here. So there are some guys on the squad that, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be some competition, man. And right till the end. So this is a great problem to have. And this is what you want. You want to bring in quality players to put quality competition on field and on tape. And now you have your best five linemen. I think we'll probably keep five DNs. If we keep six, even better. But we'll see how that'll play out. It's a numbers game, right? How many DTs do you keep? How many receivers you keep? How many tight ends? So it's all about linemen. How many linemen are you going to keep? So it's all about the numbers and who stands out. What value do you bring to the team and special teams? So many things play out. So those are the things that we're going to be paying attention to. So on the defensive side of the ball, love hearing that the defensive line is really pushing and giving some fits to the first team offense and absolutely giving fits to the second and third team offense. So looking forward to seeing how this all is going to play out when it really comes down to when it's really time to pick your 53. So they've got time. And the biggest audition, obviously, is your preseason games. So I know people are trying to get into those games and just don't get hurt. Play hard, but don't get hurt. But you gotta go all out if you want to try to make this 53. So, yeah, man, it's going to be fun. It's absolutely going to be fun. But Von Miller, double-digit sack. Can we see that from him? I was already anticipating that we'll get seven. If we get 7 to 8 sacks from Von Miller, that's a win, in my opinion. At age 35, on the end especially, that's a win. But if he's giving us double digits, bro, sign me up. Sign me up, man. And listen, if it continues, you never know what it can turn into. Sometimes, man, you take care of your body and you do what you're supposed to do. I know Father Time can come knocking at your door, but sometimes he gives you a little time. I mean, if you're looking at LeBron James right now, LeBron James is 40 years old. I know this is not football. It's far different. But at 40, just think about it. For those that are in this chat right now that's talking and that's listening right now, you probably sitting at 35 to like 44 in this range. Go out and play some ball right now and tell me how you feel when you come back home and you're sitting and you're like, dang, there goes my knee. Oof, I didn't have that pain in my shoulder before. Why is my back so tight, right? A lot of those things start coming out when you start to get a little older. You feel me? Like you plant hard and all of a sudden plantar fasciitis just shows up out of nowhere. You're like, golly, where'd this come from? So when you have guys that are 35, 36, 37 doing it at a high level in the league that has the best players ever, yo, you got to give him credit, man. Look at LeBron. LeBron at 40 in the Olympics playing against the best of the world. And bro is still leading it. So give kudos to my man, Von Miller, for doing what he's able to do. And hopefully, listen, man, it turns into a massive season for us. Really turns into a massive season. So let's move on. Let's keep touching on some of these notes that have been happening during camp. So before Cole Bishop getting hurt, by the way, he was getting a lot of look on the first team defense during the walkthrough. So those are big things. So if things materialize the way they're supposed to materialize, and it's just a minor injury, and he can get back to it. Oh, that might be your starting safety right next to our guy, Taylor Rapp. So really looking forward to seeing that and that development from Cole Bishop and this safety room. Let's shift over to the receiver room. So because there's some noise going on at the receiver room. And I'm going to be frank, man. I think we thought we had it down pat as to pretty much who's going to make this squad. I mean, I thought it was pretty simple, but it may not be as simple as we think because there are some guys that are really pushing, I guess, the needle to say, hold on, you can't just make this team just yet and count me out. And Tyrell Shavers, it's a name that we knew last year. We've seen this name before. He's been on the team a couple of years now, practice squad, all that good stuff. And we keep bringing him back. And this is one of those situations where it pays to bring these guys back so they can develop on this team. And with their development, they can find a route, find a crease where they can make a little bit of noise. And that's exactly what's going on with Tyrell Shavers. Tyrell Shavers seems to be making a little making things a little difficult for the coaching staff. So how we had it looking to begin with was obviously second round draft pick Keon Coleman. Then we had Curtis Samuel, the new signed 3-year deal, 24 mil Curtis Samuel. That's great, making noise. We're going to talk on this offense in just a little bit. Khalil Shakir. Obviously, we're anticipating a massive year from Khalil, so we know what's good. So there's your three. There's your three. So then Mac Hollins seems to be making this thing. Oh, he's the big wrench in this whole thing. I know we signed him to you know, maybe be a depth piece, and we signed him fairly in time when we brought him to the squad. So you're like, okay, Mac Hollins coming in. He had a solid year with the Raiders. Then he fell off with the Atlanta Falcons. But everyone fell off with the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, look at Kyle Pitts. Kyle Pitts, you would have thought that Kyle Pitts was a bum with the Falcons, right? So all it takes is getting a new quarterback, and you'll probably see Kyle Pitts do big things, and Atlanta will do big things. So Hollins going to the Falcons, it did him no favors. Actually, it did us a favor. It did the Bills a favor. And these guys were able to link up. Apparently, Brandon Bean has been watching and eyeballing Mac Hollins for some time now, and this was the time for them to get things rolling and make things happen between the two of them. So here we are. So what I thought would have been MVS as receiver 4, no question, Mac Hollins is number 4. And when your quarterback loves you as a person and loves you, and now you start seeing that show out on the field, bruh. Mac Hollins, receiver 4. I did not see that coming, but here we are. Mac Hollins at receiver 4. So then we're thinking, okay, Scantling should be on the squad, should make the squad based on his contract. A, he's already guaranteed $1 million, so you don't want to throw that away. And if you cut him, according to Joe Buscaglia, if you cut him, that's a $2 million dead hit, right? So does the team care? No, you've seen it done before. You remember O.J. Howard? We signed O.J. Howard to some decent money. And then Quentin Morris was like, I got something to say about that. And then, boom, we cut O.J. Howard. So, and we paid him some money. So dead cap don't mean a damn thing to Brandon Bean. So Scantling, out of 1 year, he's got a $1 million guaranteed. And then if you cut him, he's $2 million. You got to show it. You got to show out, right? So your six at the time was Coleman, Samuel, Shakir, Scantling, Hollins, Claypool. Shavers was just an afterthought. You didn't really think about Shavers. You're thinking like, okay, KJ Hamler, maybe Justin Shorter. But Shaver is coming through saying, hold up, I got something to say about this. And him being in the mix now has to bump somebody. They certainly are not keeping 7 receivers. It's not happening. In the time that Brandon Bean and McDermott have been together, they have not kept 7 receivers. Can't see that happening. So now you got to make a decision. What do you do with Shavers if he continues to show out and really have chemistry? And that's the biggest thing. Chemistry with your quarterback, your starting quarterback, your franchise quarterback, Josh Allen. So I'm sitting here looking at this like, I don't know about y'all, but have you guys been reading as forget about today, because today he had a pretty decent day, but I haven't really been reading too much on MVS. He's been quiet. And when you're quiet in camp and you're not making too much noise, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it certainly isn't a good thing when we brought you in to be a difference maker. So now Shavers is like, all right, well, if I'm given that opportunity, I will. Now he's getting time with the ones, and you got Scantling having times with the twos and threes. He had a moment where he had time with the twos and threes. With a guy like that, you want to keep him with the ones. Wouldn't you want to? I'm just saying. So now you got yourself a damn competition. Now, I didn't mention Claypool too much because I honestly think Claypool makes his team. I honestly think he makes his team. I think it's going to be a matter of, does MVS make the squad? And I'm not trying to shake things up and say and try to do these for clickbaits and not, but it's just but by what we start to read. What is going to be the ultimate indicator is obviously the blue and red game is going to be a start. And then it's going to come down to in preseason. Who is Josh looking at? Who is Mitch Trubisky looking at? And who's making the most of their scenario? So if Shavers comes in and has a great Friday, I think this Friday is the Blu-ray game. Has a great Friday. He comes in and has a fantastic preseason. And MVS is just there. Bro, decisions are going to have to be made. Furniture is going to have to be moved. You feel me? So that is something to pay attention to. So Shavers, Tyrell Shavers, the big boy, just seems to be fitting well. I mean, it does make sense. I mean, he's been developing over time on this roster. So he's getting his opportunity. So whether that pushes MVS out or pushes Claypool out, that will be something, because Mac Hollins seems to be a staple. And by the way, just a side note, can we stop making a big deal out of this whole walking with bare feet? It's really not that big a deal. That act of walking bare feet, by the way, it's called grounding. It's a thing. It's been a thing. It's nothing new. It's a thing. And it's something to do with being connected to the earth and grounded and energy and so on and so forth. So some people swear by it. Even my wife sometimes will start walking barefoot. She runs a daycare, and this lady comes in, and I'm thinking, oh, she's been here a while because her shoes were off. But I'm like, the door just opened, so she just got here. So I was like, did you walk here barefoot? She's like, yeah, that's what I always do. It's a thing. It's a thing, people. Get over it. It's not that big a deal. It really isn't. So it is what it is. But a solid case being made by Mac Hollins. Mac Hollins ain't playing games, man. He came here with a goal in mind. Be a difference maker on the field. And clearly be likable. Because everybody's talking about Mac Hollins. And the whole team loves him. So that's a way you make this team. And he's taken on the Isaiah McKenzie role, if you will. Isaiah McKenzie was what you call a glue guy, right? That's what people are trying to put out there, a glue guy. And you know what? You need those type of guys on the squad. Deion Dawkins, absolutely a glue guy. And now you got Mac Hollins, definitely a glue guy. Yo, fam. That's how sometimes, that's half the reason sometimes some guys make these teams. Are you impactful in the locker room? Do you bring something into the locker room? Listen, man, Mac Hollins is doing it, kid. Mac Hollins is doing it. Shout out to my guy, Walter. What's up, Walt? Walt comes in and says, yo, there's a solid case as you're making about MVS having a quiet training camp. But at the same time, we know how this squad values experience and players that have success, that have had success against us like MVS. We do. And that's why you don't want to count him out, because really what's it going to come down to is when preseason starts, who is Josh looking at and who does Josh feel comfortable going to? And that's ultimately what it comes down to. Does he trust you? If Josh doesn't trust you, you fall out of favor. And when you fall out of favor, you start dropping in the depth chart. And when you start dropping in the depth chart, you start seeing yourself with the second team and the third team. And you better start talking to your agent and saying, hey, I don't think it's going to work out because right now they're playing with me. So start asking for my release early so I can start to land with a team somewhere. Or maybe MVS says, you know, I'm just biding my time. Now, the one thing I will say about MVS and is slow start. And I say slow start. And you have to give him credit for this. This is a playbook. I'm not saying it's a complex playbook, but you're new to the squad. You're trying to gather all the nuances of this offense. You're trying to get the playbook down. You're trying to do all these things. So you can't necessarily play fast because you're still learning the playbook. So that's the one thing I'll give to MVS in this case as to his slow start. So right now, Shavers has the upper hand because he's been in the system 2 years. So he can play fast. He's able to play fast. But as for MVS, he's got to buy this time. He's got to make sure that he's got the right playbook down. He's got to make sure he's got the right play. He's got to make sure he's in the right place, right time. But you can't take too much time trying to learn this playbook, because by the time you get it, it might be too late. It might be too late. And Tyrell Shavers might be the one saying receiver 6 ready to report for duty. And then MVS is the one saying, shoot, where am I going to go? Am I going back to Kansas City? Heck no, they ain't going to take you back. They're good over there. Should I go to the Jets? Maybe the Jets might take your ass, because, I mean, they seem to be taking everybody. So maybe you might see yourself back know what I'm saying? And with the quarterback that you said that you had, you helped him have success. So we'll see. So we're not going to bag on MVS. We're going to give him a little bit of grace because he's got to get that playbook down. But fam, don't take too long getting that playbook down because Tyrell Shavers ain't looking back. He's not looking to see if you can. Nah, man, his head is forward. He's saying, yo, Josh, what you need? And one thing I will say that stood out to me. Josh has all these handshakes with everybody, all right? And I would have never thought that he would have had like a complex handshake with Tyrell Shavers. And I see it. I'm like, yo, who's that? I'm like, is that Shavers? And you got Shavers having this complex fingers twisted up, down, and around with my guy Josh Allen. So they got something going on there. There's something popping with Josh Allen and Tyrell Shavers. So kudos to Tyrell Shavers. That's making a push. He's doing it. And if you blink, your starting receivers, your starting six might be Coleman, Samuel, Shakir, Hollins, Claypool, Shavers. We'll see. A-Cash says, yo, Tyrell Shavers coming for that ass, boy. Listen, man, it's not over yet. He's got to continue that. He's got to really continue that and really push. So we'll see, man. We'll see. Shout out to my guy, Scott Blakely from The Shy. What's good, baby? Been a while, Rico. Glad to catch you live. Fam sends their regards. I send my regards to the family as well. It is good. It's good to be back on Tuesday nights. I need to get back and put my stamp back on Tuesdays because, you know, your boy been doing some things in the background. And my boy, me and Z-Bot been doing our thing on Fridays. It's going to continue. Don't get me twisted. But we got to get right back to it, man. BF's got to get back on the mat, man, because too many people saying, where y'all at? We back, baby. We here now. Anyway, let's move on, man. Let's move on. So Dave, we're chatting on day five and day six of camp. So Tyrell Shavers, we talked about him kind of pushing it and making some noise right now. You've got a little bit of mishaps happening with Connor McGovern, our center, with Josh Allen. I don't see that being a long-term issue, but it is something to pay attention to. It is something to kind of make note of. And then put it aside and say, we'll come back and check that out in just a little bit. So we'll soon see if that still is a lingering issue. I think they're professionals. I think they'll put it aside. Safety Cole Bishop went down to injury. But before going down to injury, boy was making some moves, man. I think he was pushing towards being starting safety next to Taylor Rapp. But this injury definitely puts a hamper on things, which then obviously you add to the Mike Edwards injury with the hamstring. Coach had to make a decision, and Brandon Bean had to bring in 15-year vet Kareem Jackson. So Kareem Jackson is going to be obviously taking it all in, and how much of an asset he's going to be to the squad right away and how much he's going to be an impact, not much. It's more the depth, and this is more, listen, how much did he cost to come here? that's what it comes down to, because we ain't spending cash like that. So we shall soon see. But the one thing that we have to talk about is the fact of the matter is this: the best safety free agent right now is Simmons right now, and he's still out there, and nothing's happening. Like, what's going on with Simmons? Someone talk to me here, because I'm sitting here watching Justin Simmons just sit and chill in free agency if he's looking for the right position and the right time. And yo, get your agent to call Buffalo and be like, yo, let's talk. Like, I get it. You're developing a young safety in Cole Bishop. I get that. You got Taylor Rapp. You signed to a long-term deal. I get that part too. But fam, you got to put the best players on the field ASAP. Are we trying to win a championship or not? And if he gives you a great opportunity to win championships, what are we talking about? Is it fair for us to say that Brandon Bean is sitting on his hands on bringing in Justin Simmons? You got a Pro Bowl, All-Pro, four-time All-Pro safety sitting there waiting to be brought in somewhere, and we sitting on our hands? I'm all for developing our own. I'm all for allowing those to step up and do what they need to do. And if Cole Bishop has to take a back seat for a year or two, or he's just our third big safety, so be it. Bring in Justin Simmons. At least have a conversation. Bring him in for a conversation. You ain't got to sign the brother. Bring him in for a conversation. Be like, all right, what are we doing here? Are you looking for a home? Are you looking for a long-term home? Well, we have the availability. Taylor Rapp signed a multiple-year deal. He ain't locked in forever. You bring in Justin Simmons, that safety room completely changes. And let me remind you, he's from the AFC West. Who do you think he faced twice a year? Pat Mahomes. Bro, you bring in somebody that knows the quarterback, that knows what he likes to do, that is an all-pro himself. You insert him into a McDermott defense. What are we talking about here? What are we talking about? That just makes sense. Look at who's on our line. Let me repaint a picture for y'all. Just to kind of give you an idea. I'm not trying to like hype shit up, but sometimes you do. All right, let me see. All right. So Von Miller looking great from what we see. So Von Miller will take his rightful position. Greg Rousseau. Then you got DaQuan Jones in the middle. You got Ed Oliver coming off a fantastic year that's going to be coming in and ready to roll. So your defensive front is ready to rock. And you got Javon Solomon as a rookie that's coming in, and he's a pass rush specialist that's going to be learning a lot from Von Miller. And we got quite a few depth pieces that we can put on. You already know what time it is. Let's go to the linebacker room. Listen, Dorian Williams will be a good player when his time is time to ready to go. He was already smacking brothers last year, but he just wasn't all the way there. This year, he's putting things together. He's playing fast, and he's a rock star, bro. You don't sleep on Dorian Williams. All right, that's Dorian Williams right there. And then you got Matt Milano. Then you got the man himself, the legend, you know what I'm saying, Mr. Bernard. You know what I'm saying? So what are we talking? You got two linebackers that's gonna be a killer if they're healthy. You got Rasul Douglas, savvy vet that knows where the ball's supposed to be. You got Christian Bedford, that was number one PFF zone corner. You got Elam playing solid as your third corner. I didn't even get into Jamarcus Ingram, but that's okay. And now you add in Justin Simmons. Taylor Rapp. Taylor Rapp stays in the box. Justin Simmons surveys the back. Fam, what are we talking about here, man? Yo, get on the phone, bro. Get on the phone and just call this guy. No disrespect to Kareem Jackson, but you're 15 years in the game. What are we going to do with 15? Come on, man. Was it Kareem Jackson? Am I saying his name right? For those that are sleeping, we signed a safety for precautionary reasons, obviously. Obviously Mike Edwards being hurt hurts the situation, but here we are. But fam, what are we doing here? Does that make any sense? Does that make sense to y'all? Just have a conversation. Bring him in. Let's talk. What are we doing? Can we talk? Let's have a conversation. Like, let's go. And for those that are sleeping, by the way, we brought in Kareem Jackson on a one-year deal. He's going to be pretty much our depth piece if things, you know what I mean, fall apart with obviously Mike Edwards, and if things fall apart with Cole Bishop. Maybe Cole Bishop's injury is severe. Maybe he broke his arm and he's out. I hope that doesn't happen. Maybe it's just a little contusion. You know what I mean? Needle that thing up. Let's go. Let's get back in it. But yeah, we bought in Kareem Jackson as depth piece. So make that phone call, man. Brandon. Triple B. It was your birthday the other day, man. Make that birthday phone call and call the agents of Justin Simmons and say, let's talk. Let's just talk. Let's have a conversation. It doesn't hurt to have conversation. I've had conversation where I thought nothing was going to come of it, and then all of a sudden, a budding relationship comes from it.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to KundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A deal is made from something, an agreement. Just have a conversation. Bring that brother in. Don't be scared. Don't be scared, baby. Just do it. Are we trying to win or not? Are we trying to win or not? At the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do. And the window is here. You got Josh Allen. We only have that brother for another 5, 6, 7 years, maybe. Come on now. I say 10. Why not? I'm just saying, man. By the way, for those that are tuned in for the very first time, or you guys have been tuning in for a long time, do me a favor. Smash that like real quick. And if you have not subscribed to the channel, do yourself a favor and subscribe to the channel. This season is upon us very quickly. It's going to be hitting us soon. So we need to get things rolling. All right. Another thing to talk about, Ty Johnson banged up after, I guess, he got rocked by my guy Bernard. So it leaves the door open for my guy, Ray Davis. And I like Ty Johnson. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big fan of Ty Johnson. But I just know Ray Davis is going to be a freaking star. He's going to be a star on this team. We're going to love him immediately. When he gets his touches, we're going to be like, yo, this guy's a dog. And Ty Johnson is a dog too, because he's versatile. He can do it all. But this, him being banged up, opens up the door for Ray Davis to solidify himself as RB2. And as RB2, that can pass protect, that can catch out of the backfield, and can go inside or outside. And when you listen, 2 touchdowns had by James Cook last year, 2 rushing touchdowns. So that tells you that red zone is going to somebody else. And if you guys remember who the ball was kept on going to last year, it wasn't James Cook in the red zone. I'll tell you that much. So this year, it's going to be Josh Allen. It's going to be Ray Davis. So get ready to get a big dosage of Ray Davis this year. I'm excited for this guy. I was excited when we drafted him. I was excited before we drafted this guy because I knew that if we did, it'd be great things. And lo and behold, who do we got? We got our guy, Ray Davis. And he's going to be making a very big impact. You'll see for yourself. I ain't got to tell you. It's just going to happen. I promise you that. I really do promise you that. So Ray Davis getting some opportunities. I do hope that obviously Ty Johnson does come back and we have a nice complimentary piece as depth to James Cook. James Cook is slated to have a massive year. I think he's going to have a big year. And he doubles up and doubles back and does great things. So that being said, though, with Ty Johnson being banged up, it opens up the room for obviously Ray Davis. Darrington Evans has been making some splash moves here and there. Maybe he becomes our return guy because I know he does some returning as well. So we'll see where he gets himself situated. And I haven't heard too much, but Frank Gore Jr., it opens up the books for him. It opens up lane for him to try to make some room and make some noise. But that's already a tough position. That's an uphill battle for Frank Gore Jr. I'll tell you that much. I don't care if your daddy is Frank Gore, future Hall of Famer. It is going to happen. It ain't just going to happen. But we'll see. Stranger things have happened. So that being said, that running back room is going to be nice. It's going to be good. We had a couple scuffles that happened. Elam going at it with Holland. You know, I mean, pushing and shoving, all that good stuff. But it's competition. I love it. I never shy away from it. Anytime that somebody wants to kind of knuck if you buck, let's go. Knuck if you buck. And then you know what I mean? Once we're done, you know, we dap it up, get back into it, and let's roll. That's football, baby. That is football. Melissa Stage is saying, what about Curtis Samuel? Curtis Samuel is going to be heavily used. Just a few days ago, there were multiple beat writers reporting on the use of Curtis Samuel and how he was, and they couldn't really reveal too much because, you know, now media is kind of saying, hey, you can say this, but you can't say this. You can say this, but hold on, you can't say too much. So without saying too much, this brother is going to be used everywhere. He is going to be used everywhere. He's going to be our, what Deebo Samuels is to the San Francisco 49ers. This is just my opinion here. What Deebo Samuels is to the San Francisco 49ers, I think they're going to make Curtis Samuel that way. And what I love about Curtis Samuel's addition to this team is he's coming to this team familiar with the offensive coordinator. That is a big one. So they already have a familiar relationship. They already have history together. So Curtis Samuel is going to be busy. That brother from Brooklyn is going to be busy, and he's looking forward to. So that's the biggest thing that I take away from Curtis Samuel. He's making noise, and Josh Allen has no bones of going to him. That's the big thing. Listen, man, this offense is going to be fun. I know I'm a big fan of Stephon Diggs. I'm going to miss Stephon Diggs. I'm going to be watching the Texans and be like, yo, good for Stephon. He's doing what he's supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? That's him. He is him. But fam, I think Josh Allen is going to thrive this year. I think he's going to play free. He's going to play free. He's going to just sling that rock left, right, center. And you got guys that are win first type guys on the squad. Keon Coleman is a rookie, so he's going to do what he needs to do to help this team win. Curtis Samuel, you got familiarity with your squad. That wherever they move you, you want to play running back, we're going to put you running back. We're going to put you in the slot. We're going to make you do a jet sweep. We're going to have you everywhere. He's ready for that. You got Khalil Shakir that's slated for a massive year. Scantling is going to try to find his footing and find and stretch that defense. So he's going to have his role. He knows what time it is. He's already got one under his belt, the Super Bowl. So he knows what it takes. You got Mac Hollins. That's the ultimate team guy. He's like, yo, man, wherever y'all need me, let's go. You need my cleats? Take my cleats. I don't need them. That's what it's going to be. And then you got Tyrell Shavers that's pushing to make something happen. And then you got Chase Claypool that's trying to make himself, to reinvent himself with the Bills. Bro, this, you couldn't have asked for a better unit to complement Josh Allen, where Josh Allen is elite as they come, and he's just going to deliver the ball like this. I said this two or three years ago. Josh Allen is going to develop into what Tom Brady was when he never necessarily needed a star receiver. Obviously, he got one when Hall of Famer Randy Moss came through, but he just had one good, he had Gronkowski, and the rest were really good players, but never elite players. So right now we don't have elite. We got a really damn good tight end, and we have very good players on the squad that can really complement this team. So fam, let's go, man. Let's go. I'm looking forward to seeing what takes place with Josh Allen, how he develops with these guys, and how he just rocks it, man. If you want to double cover whoever, bro, we'll hit you with Curtis Samuel. Oh, you've been hearing some noise on Khalil Shakir? You better hear some noise because he's going to do big things. Oh, you want to put a little more attention to him? All right, then let me hit you with my rookie, Keon Coleman. It's that simple. It's really that simple, baby. So it's going to be fun. Oh, by the way, we have Dawson Knox and Kincaid. Where do you want me to hit you? We're going to get you. Is that good? So don't sleep on these Bills, man, thinking that we're going to get just 9 wins. Bro, don't sleep on these Bills, baby. Do not sleep on these Bills, man. We go for 5 AFC championships, AFC East championships. As you can bet that. You can absolutely bet that. So big shout out to this offense, and I see big things happening. I see big things happening. So that was camp on day 5. Day 6 today. They got a day off tomorrow. So there was some good things. So they had some veteran rest by Daquan Jones and Nicholas Moreau. So he had some time off. Von Miller, I already talked on Von Miller having a bad. He had a good day. He had 2 sacks today, and he just looked like old Von. Old Von. Not old Von, old man Von. Nehemiah Walker Von. Yo, old man Von is the thing of the past now. You got old Von coming back. You got triangle at the back of the head Von. You feel me? So listen, if this boy comes in and he's ready to go, and he's juiced up and just, he's got a love for the game, and now he doesn't think about his knee anymore, and he's ready to roll and bend around that corner, it's over for you suckers, man. Don't play. 35-year-old? Shoot. If he might have called LeBron and said, yo, what's your secret? What do we do? What's happening? What are we putting into the body? What are we doing? So if he's made the phone calls, he's done what he needs to do to get back to the old Vaughn, bro, let's roll, man. Let's roll. I'll take that all day, every day. So Von Miller trending up. Great day. Let's talk about the secondary, though, real quick. We talked about the offensive side of the ball where Shavers seems to be pushing and making some noise. On the defense side of the ball, Jamarcus Ingram. That's another player that's been developing the last couple of years. And last year, he started to make a little bit more noise, and I started to know more about Jamarcus Ingram. Right, there were a couple times I think we called him up to play in our games last year. So it's not like he's new to us, but he's making some noise, and this is what you want to have on the defense. Because if you look at the cornerback spot, obviously you got Benford and Rasul Douglas. They seem to be entrenched as your starters. You got Kyer Elam that's really pushing and really doing great things. Maybe he pushes, you know what I'm saying, one of these guys off the mark and takes a position. I don't see it happening, but it's good for his confidence because there's going to be games where this might not be the game for Rasul Douglas, or this might not be the game for Christian Benford. I need a man-to-man lockdown corner that's got his confidence up. And by the way, first game, Arizona Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr., I need you. So that might be where he finds his niche and he comes in. And over time, Rasul Douglas, he's probably gone by next year. So this might be where Benford and Kyer Elam, the two guys that got brought in, isn't that something? The two young corners now take over for the Bills. Come on now. So that'd be great. So now here in comes Jamarcus Ingram as cornerback 3. So this is more about a now and the future. So what takes place right now is going to be interesting. Cam Lewis is obviously a jack of all trades. You can put him at safety, you can put him at nickel, and you can put him at corner. So he's going to be a valuable piece, especially with the injuries that we're dealing with right now. So Jamarcus Ingram making some noise is great. So big shout out to the defense. Big shout out to Bobby Babbage and the defensive DBs and coaches. The developments of these Bills, how they develop their defensive players and how they develop their DBs more specifically is unbelievable, man. Like every year you can pretty much plug and play somebody. That's how good. Listen, man, Levi Wallace is not a bad player at all. But we were able to plug and play Levi Wallace, no problem. Dane Jackson, plug and play with developments. So, like, whatever the hell they're doing in Buffalo and what they're doing in that defensive back room, the defensive backfield film room, keep it up. That's all I'm going to say is keep it up, because these guys are developing and developing quite well. So big shout out to the coaching staff on what they do. And let's keep it rolling, man. Let's definitely absolutely keep it rolling. So that being said, Cam Lewis obviously had some time. He had an interception on one-on-ones today. So he's doing his thing, man. He's doing his thing. Hollins and Coleman, nice grabs on one-on-ones. There's some notes that we've taken as well. So obviously we're going to see Rapp and Hamlin. They're going to be, I mean, pretty much the two starters for now, because you got two banged up safeties. So those could be the two safeties going into the blue red game on Friday. So am I excited about that duo? No. You know what I mean? And it's no hate. I'm not hating at all, but I'm not excited about it. But if they feel good about what DeMar Hamlin brings to the table, and he's in the mix, truly and honestly in the mix to start alongside Taylor Rapp, and he wins it based on what he's been doing and on his merits, then shoot, let's go. Let's go. I just don't see that happening. I just don't see it happening. I'm just not there. I'm not there. But hey, stranger things have happened. So big shout out to them. Obviously, we talked about MVS and his developments, and whether he gets pushed out if he doesn't grasp this playbook fast enough and quick enough, because Tyrell Shavers is not going to be apologetic about taking your spot. He absolutely will not. He's been waiting for this spot. He's been waiting for this time, and he's taking full advantage of it. So I'm not saying MVS is a lock for this team, and nor am I saying he's going to get kicked off this team. But he certainly is not a lock, and neither is Chase Claypool. So Tyrell Shavers has an absolute legitimate shot at making it. I'd like to see more from Shavers. I'm not all the way sold on it just yet. I'm seeing good things. I'm reading good things. But I'm not sold just yet. I need to see preseason. I need to see the blue-red game. That would give us a first idea of how this all plays out. But MVS, man, yo, you better grasp that playbook real quick, because if you don't, Shavers is on that ass, boy. He is on that ass for sure. Let's keep moving. So, obviously, another scuffle. Solomon and Spencer. That would have been funny. The size difference between those two. Alec Anderson was transported to a local hospital for heat-related issues. So I guess today was a warm one in Buffalo. So at this point, whether it was he was dehydrated, who knows what it was. But from what I understand and what I've been reading, with messages coming from Deion, felt good about it. Deion was like, listen, man, I'm with this medical staff that we have here, I ain't worried about it. He's going to be in good hands. And apparently he was released from the hospital, and he told coach, I'm good, I'm straight, I'm good. So maybe he was just dehydrated, just needed to IV, get some fluids in him, and he's back on track. So a bit of a scare on the offensive line, but here we are. Obviously, the Cole Bishop injury was to his arm, but no details on how severe it is. So we'll see how that all plays out. And then Tyler Bass, boy. Tyler Bass going 5 for 6, so he's getting in his groove. I'm loving it. I mean, just the other day, he was 5 for 6 again. So the one he missed today was from 52. He's getting in his bag. We're going to slowly get back to, you know what I mean, loving on Tyler Bass. You know what I mean? I know he's kept a bad taste in a lot of our mouths because of the missed field goal, wide right. Anybody trying to hear wide right anymore? But we did. And and that was an opportunity to change the landscape of the game. And I mean, you already know what time it is. So Tyler Bass is getting his bearings under him. When it comes to the battle at punter, I know nobody really wants to talk about the punter, but the punter position is very important because Jack Browning is the rookie punter that we brought in to compete with Sam Martin. And as of like this camp today, they've been pretty much neck and neck. They've been pretty much neck and neck. According to Joe Biscaglia, I was reading an article on his. He's got Martin slightly ahead because of a big shank punt coming from Browning. Now, if they're pretty much side by side and you know what I mean, neck and neck, here's what it's going to come down to. Who can hold the football better when it comes to helping Tyler Bass nail these field goals? Because if you guys are neck and neck in punting, I could go with either or. However, who can, you know what I'm saying, take that snap, put it down, laces out, tilt it, do all those things consistently for my kicker, Tyler Bass, because we cannot afford to keep any points off the board. We need every point that we can take. We've seen it in time and time again where we get in a bind, 3rd and 17. Josh comes in, first down, boom. When we thought we were doomed, and we work our way, and the offense stalls out, right? It could have been a punt from before, but because of Josh's efforts or the offensive efforts, we got ourselves into field goal range. So we can't do all of that just to have our kicker miss it because there was a bobble in the snap, or there was some miscommunication, or there was, I didn't get the laces this way. Yo, we need to eliminate that crap ASAP. Reed Ferguson is money when it comes to snapping the football. So I ain't never going to have an issue with that, brother. So it comes down to who can hold the football more consistently, more cleanly. And if you're doing your job putting the football, bro, that's who's going to win the job. Right now, the edge is going to be the Sam Martin because obviously he did a great job last year for us. But holding that football is a different ballgame. That's a whole different ballgame. So we need consistency at that juncture in the game. When it comes to holding that, boom, put it down. All that is everything. All that is necessary. So please don't get it twisted. Punting is important. We know it is, but holding is just as important. So that position for the punter is going to be crucial. So who wins the job? I mean, obviously the edge has to go to Sam Martin, but we'll soon see. We'll soon see. So that's what stands out to me when it comes to that Puntapalooza, if you want to call it that. but that's what it comes down to, man. But altogether, day 5 and 6 in the books. What takeaways have you guys come with from camp thus far? Thus far, what has stood out to you? What are you looking forward to? What are you seeing? What stands out to you? My guy Bobby Ray says he hopes that Browning gets the job. I mean, shoot, we're going to see, man. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't give a damn who is punting the football, and I don't care who's holding it. Just make sure that you're doing both of them consistently and well. That's it. That's what your job is. Your job is to damn hold the football and kick it. That's it. We don't ask you to do much. We do not ask you to do much. Just make sure that you get that ball downfield and nice and high, and that way we cover things. So that's neither here nor there. We'll let that play out. But yeah, man, that's that punter position. So what stands out to you guys when in terms of this team, the chemistry between Keon Coleman and Josh Allen, the running back room, the receiver room, the O-line? The one thing I did want to touch on is you need to know who your depth pieces are when it comes to the O-line. So obviously, I think it's Vandermark has been our guy. He's our swing. So pretty much if something goes awful for either Spencer Brown or Deion Dawkins, Vandermark is the dude. He's our swing. He's the one that goes left, right, and that's what it comes down to. Now, if you guys do recall, some might forget. You guys might be like, oh, shoot, I forgot about that. But we signed Lyle Collins. And Lyle Collins, I mean, if you know the name, he was a big-time player. He's had some injuries in his time. And those injuries have caught up to him, where it's had him on multiple teams and released and so on and so forth. So now he is now on the Bills. So where do you put him? Do you put him as a tackle? Do you put him as a guard? So he's been getting time both at tackle and guard. But I think those injuries are catching up to him because he was getting beat. According to some beat reporters and some reports that are out there, he was getting beat, man. He was looking slow and it wasn't working out for him. So it's going to look like the interior position is going to be where he's best suited. He's a big boy. He's a big body. So you put him on the inside, I think that's where he's best suited. So Vandermark will be your swing tackle. You got Lyle Collins. That'll be, you know, a backup guard. Obviously, you got Alec Anderson that's going to be making some noise as well. Richard Gouriage is going to be out there. So there's going to be some good depth. Van Prank Granger. You got Will Clapp. What a name that is, by the way. Will Clapp. Oh, golly. You got Will Clapp in there. So, and we got some rookies that we brought in. So there's going to be some competition going on, but we already know who our starting five is. And then when it comes to the depth, it's all going to play out. This is why preseason is so important. It's super important, man. You get to see what teams are going to be, what teams, when I say teams, like what formations and what's the word I'm looking for? What depth pieces are going to be put together. So like once that starting five is out, all right, how's that set going to look? Okay. So so Guriaj is going to be on the left side. Okay. So that's what I'm going to be looking forward to. Lyle Collins, where are they going to have him? They're going to put him at right tackle. They're going to put him at guard when it comes to the depth pieces getting in there. Where's Will Clapp going to be? Where is, Van Pran Granger? Will they keep him at guard? Or will they put him as the backup center and see how he looks at center? So though all those things are things that I think we'll all be paying attention to. I'm looking forward to it. So we'll soon see. But for the most part, folks, I mean, that's what stood out to me. I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up Keon Coleman, man. Bro, Keon Coleman is the freaking real deal. Keon Coleman is the real freaking deal, man. I know people want to kind of, I mean, they're probably not talking about it now, but then there were some players that most folks were saying, man, Xavier Worthy should have been the pick. Why didn't you go and get Xavier Worthy? What about Adonai Mitchell? You should have got Adonai Mitchell. He's right there for the picking. And by the way, Adonai Mitchell is doing great things with the Colts, by the way. He's doing solid. So, man, okay, we got Keon Coleman. All right, I guess. Man, everybody loves him. But can that translate on the field? Sure is. It sure is, man. This guy's catching everything. He's catching everything, man. I'm seeing footage of him making Russell Douglas look like a fool. He's making Christian Benford look like nothing. Bro, Keon Coleman, he might have it, bro. So, and that's the beautiful thing about this whole situation. When you're looking at Josh Allen, building the chemistry with Curtis Samuel, building the chemistry, obviously building on his chemistry with Khalil Shakir, which had a really good camp today. He was definitely something that was, he was targeted twice, two in a row, bang, bang, from Josh Allen. So love it. I mean, they're going to turn right back to what they were doing just last year. But fam, Keon Coleman is just catching everything. That's the one thing that you want as a quarterback. If I throw you to football, it's not always going to be accurate. It's not always going to be money. But you give me a chance. And that's what Keon Coleman does. He gives you a chance. His catch radius is massive. Bro, I'm loving every bit of what I'm seeing and hearing on Keon Coleman. I think he's actually surprised. I think he's exceeded the expectation. I feel like, honestly, I'll be honest with you. I thought he was going to, as a rookie, struggle as a rookie. And right now, It's not saying that he's not going to. He's probably going to have some moments where he struggles. But as of right now, with what we're seeing, it don't look like he's going to struggle at all, man. He's just doing what he's supposed to do. Get open and catch the football consistently. That's the big thing, man. So everything that I'm reading, everything that I'm seeing on Keon Coleman is only going to make life easier for Josh when it comes to him connecting with Kincaid, when it comes to him connecting with Dawson Knox, when it comes to him connecting with James Cook on the sideline, right? I didn't even mention Curtis Samuel. I didn't even mention the rest of these guys. Khalil Shakir. Joe Brady has a big job. He's got a big job, man. Make sure that these guys are vibing. Make sure that you've got plays that they love and that they can hit on. Boy, we are laughing. We are laughing, man. And here's the good thing. We got young pieces. Your core young pieces, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid. Those are James Cook. Those are your core young pieces that are going to be with Josh for a little bit. And then we can build around that. Man, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. So this weekend's blue-red game is going to be really fun to see. It's going to be really fun to see. Shout out to Jason Miller. What's up, Jace? It's been a while. I see people coming back knowing that, I mean, your boy's back and the season's around the corner. So we're going to start ramping back up. Milano as a full participant in camp is the best news so far. Chemistry between Allen, Coleman, and the receivers, a close second. It's going to be a fun offense. I couldn't agree more. It is going to be a fun offense. But underrated, the emergence of Milano being healthy, consistently staying on the field is and stacking days is very, very encouraging. I know that some folks were hitting me up on the side, be like, yo, bro, what's up with the doc? Why is the doctor always trying to give us bad news and terrible news? And they're talking about the thigh doc. Listen, man, the thigh doc has not been wrong. I think he's ever been incorrect once that he's made his assessments on a few things. Maybe twice. I don't even think twice. He's been accurate on a lot of things that he's mentioned. And most notably and most recently, it was Micah Hyde. He talked on Micah Hyde last year and said, this is what you expect. This is what you should see. He'll probably play this year. He may not play the next year because one that he was on it. He was absolutely on it. So when it comes to, obviously, when it comes to are the guys that are on the squad now and who's banged up and so on and so forth, I mean, those things are going to happen. But the fact of the matter is Milano staying on the field and playing, bro, keep rolling. If he keeps rolling and he keeps putting stacking days next to Terrell Bernard, bro, this freaking duo is going to be one of the better duos in the league. Milano is probably is already known as one of the better linebackers in the game. Bernard is coming up. Bro, that tandem right now, stop playing with us, man. And you got Von Miller that's coming into his own. He's starting to get back to old Von. And I don't want to sound like a broken record. But man, I'm looking forward to all of that, man. And we've got some really nice pieces on the defensive front. What are we talking about, people? What are we talking about here, man? I'm excited, man. I'm excited. So call me a homer all you want, because I ain't one. But when I know when it's exciting times. And Josh seems to be embracing his new role as the top dog. He's a top dog. I've been saying this, man, since the last year more specifically. I needed him to step up as being a big-time leader. And most people might say, but he is a leader. What are you talking about? Oh, I know he's a leader. And they respect the hell out of him. But he's a guy that leads by example, leads by what he does on the field. Within the white lines, follow me, because you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get busy. But now it's more him being more vocal with his guys. And there's going to be moments where he's got to say, come here. I need to talk to you. This. So loving that part. He's the guy now. He doesn't have to worry about walking on eggshells if it was with Gabe Davis, or walking on eggshells if it was with Stephon Diggs. There is none of that anymore. Good vibes. And sometimes it's just fantastic. I'll give you an example. Where I work, I manage employees, okay? And there's certain employees. When you have multiple employees that have different personalities, you just got to learn how to deal. That's just what it is. Sports has taught me that. You learn how to deal with the deep douchebags, the sensitive ones. You learn how to deal with all those cats, right? So, but sometimes, just sometimes, when somebody leaves, it just eases everybody else. It just happens. So with Stephon Diggs leaving, they probably love Stephon Diggs, but him gone probably eases everybody. It probably eases Josh Allen even more, just to kind of be like, oh, okay, let's roll, right? And so I'm at work. So this individual had a moment and decided to go home. And the rest of the evening and the night was just chill. Everybody was cool. So this is probably the same thing for Stephon Diggs being gone. Stephon Diggs was probably great. Obviously, he's great. You know he's a dog. You know all of that. But there's something about someone's presence, and maybe what's taken place and what's kind of turned some people, or turned Stephon Diggs. Maybe that aura was starting to kind of infest on other people. And whether admitted or not, that's probably what the case is. And him being gone seems to has lightened up the locker room. Seems to have, and you can see with the type of individuals they brought in. Look at Mac Hollins. Just looking like Jimmy Foss Snuka, walking all over the place, barefoot, hair all out, all that good stuff, right? Good vibes. So hopefully those good vibes, I mean, translate into W's. Because at the end of the day, it's what it all matters. That's what matters, man. Get me the W's. Because when the wins start coming, everything is honky-dory. Everything is lovely. It's when those L's start to pile up. Now you're like, shoot, you start pointing at everything. Now you're going to start pointing. Put your freaking shoes on, man. I'm sick of you walking barefoot. It's starting to piss me off. You know what I mean? A lot of those things start to irritate. It's going to start to irritate people. But at the end of the day, I see good vibes ahead, and I think the Bills are going to have another successful season. And this, shoot, man, this might be the year, man. We might have to shut down the Kansas City Chiefs trying to three-peat. It might have to go through Buffalo again, and this time we get it done. So we'll see. My man Rob says, hey, Justin Simmons in the chat or what? If so, you want a medium-sized paycheck to move to Buffalo? I mean, listen, man. It always comes down to money. But for Justin Simmons, if he's going to choose to go somewhere, maybe he says, I'll take a one-year deal in Buffalo, and then I'll check the market afterwards. But I want to play. He's not going back to Denver. So where is he going to go? I mean, shoot, you're in August. You're going to be in August shortly. The season's a month away. Surely someone's going to sign him soon. And if they don't, why not? What's going on? Is there something that the whole league knows about this, bro, and nobody wants to sign? I just don't get it. I don't get it. Somebody explain to me what the issue is with Justin Simmons. Is there an injury that he's yet to disclose that people know about? They're like, yo, we ain't going to touch you until XYZ. Is there some kind of allegations that are against them that they're like, yo, pause, we ain't going to take that? If neither of those things are an issue, shit. What are we talking about? Like I said, man. Bean, make that phone call. Call the agent. Just say, hey, man, just hear the chat. What's up with your guy? Is he trying to play this year? Is he trying to come to Buffalo? Is that something that he's looking forward to? Does he want to come to AFC? Is he trying to stay in the NFC? Does he want to be in warm weather? What does he want? Let's talk. Okay, he's not really interested in that. Cool. I was checking. Hit me back if things change. But damn, we in August now. We're about to step into the month of August. Something's got to give, baby. Something's got to give. So anyway, that's where I stand with the whole Justin Simmons thing. I know that Rob was asking that question, but we'll see, man. So would love that, bro. I can't believe he's not signed yet. Me neither, man. There's a whole lot of play. Listen, man, there's 31 teams that would love to bring him on. So I think he's literally in ultimate control. He's probably chilling, just saying, I'm gonna wait my turn, and I'm gonna wait for someone to give me the bag. But like, how much of a bag can you get when you don't even know the playbook? I mean, you want to get somewhere now. But I mean, listen, what do I know? What do I know? So yeah, man. So if there's any camp questions that you guys have that I can hopefully try to answer based on what I've read and what I've seen, I'm not there at camp, so I can't tell you this is what I saw. I would love to be. But when you live in a different country, it's a lot different to do it. So you rely on great pieces written by some good people that have got great analysis. And you rely on, I mean, some good footage. And you go from there. But yeah, that's where we stand. So I'm going to just check to see if there's any questions that are coming up. And if there's nothing that you guys are really, I mean, hard pressed on, then we call it a night. But yeah, man, overall, based on what I've seen through training camp, it's really good development. So Jamarcus Ingram making some noise, Tyrell Shavers making some noise, Cameron Klein, defensive end, making some noise. He can push as DE5. We will soon see. Dorian Williams had a great camp today and looking fantastic. So him playing faster just makes things way, way nicer. Banged up Bills, man. So we got Cole Bishop, obviously nursing an injury. He got friendly fire. I think it came from Taylor Rapp. I'm not sure what happened, took place, but you know what I mean? The pads are on now, so they're hitting. So that took place. Obviously, Mike Edwards is week to week with a hamstring injury. And last but not least, obviously we signed Kareem Jackson, 15-year vet, is now a Buffalo Bill. Brandon B was speaking on him earlier tonight, and he was mentioning that, listen, man, he's not gonna be playing in that blue game, the blue red game. He's not gonna have time. So we'll try to get him going by next week. They're gonna try to get him propped up, ready to go. And before you know it, man, we're gonna be right into the first preseason game. So we'll go from there. Somebody asked about Cedric Van Pran Granger. So I don't really hear too much about Cedric Van Pran. I know that from what I've been seeing and reading, he's just going with emotions. He's getting his reps in at guard, and obviously with the second team when he comes in and jumps in at center here and there. But for the most part, he's going to be slated as a guard and backup center. So that's the thing with him. Lyle Collins obviously is on the squad too. So he's slated as a tackle/guard, but he's best suited to play inside. Big body, play inside. You don't have the athleticism anymore based on your injuries and your age, obviously. I think he's 31 now. To play on the outside. These boys are different now. These boys are different. You need to be young, nimble, and ready to roll. So that's where your Spencer Browns come in. And Deion Dawkins just knows what the heck he's doing, man. He's a pro bowler. He knows what's good. So that's what I do know about Granger. Not too much. I'm not there, like I said. But yeah, that's where we're at right now. That's where we're at. I'd love to. I haven't really paid attention to, but I'd love to know how Gabe Davis is doing in Jacksonville. I'm curious. I'm gonna look up some articles and see how he's doing out there. And obviously, Stephon Diggs is probably doing his thing out there. Sword Brother says, how's Solomon and Carter looking? Ah, good question. So Solomon was looking great today. Apparently, he was an absolute menace. Now, albeit it was against the second and third team, but that's where you want to be a menace. I want to destroy who's in front of me on second and third team so you can throw me into the first team. That's exactly what I want it to be. And Carter has been looking solid as well. Both guys have been looking great, doing what they're supposed to do, doing their part. There was a bit of a scuffle with Carter. I think Carter got into it with what did Carter get into it? He got into it with somebody. I can't remember who. But here, I mean, Solomon, Javon Solomon, I think he's going to be, I think he makes his team. Fifth round draft pick. Just a bevy of pass rush moves, man. This guy's going to be nice. It's just a matter of time. He just has it. He just knows how to do it. So once you start getting nuances of the game, bro, Bob's your uncle, man. You're going to be set, ready to roll. But yeah, those are the two. Those two guys are doing great. They're going to make the squad. I don't have any question. I think they make the squad, no problem. And but that's what that's all I know about them thus far. Walter, what's up, Walt? Walt comes in and says, "I'm worried about McGovern hitting Allen with a dribble pass when he's snapping the ball. We took stability with Morris for granted." So I spoke on that earlier, and I'll speak on that just a little bit again. Based on what I've read. And based on, you know, how, you know, I mean, the beat writers are talking about it. And it's what we're five practices into training camp, and they're just getting used to one another. So don't get me wrong. So there's going to take some time, but it was just a moment, a couple instances where it was a low dribble. You got me saying dribble. It was a low snap and a bobble snap. So it's just a matter of these guys getting together. I don't think it's going to be something that we should worry about. Is it something that we should mark down and say, okay, I remember that day. There was a day that you guys were doing that. Just don't let it turn its rear its head in a crucial game where we need everything to be perfect. So, but when I did speak on it, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think it was just a couple moments, but I think they've got enough time that they'll get it together. For the most part, they've been pretty solid all camp. So I can't see this being something that turns up. But if it does and it becomes psychological and it's just they can't get it right, something's got to give. Then you're going to start looking at like, whoa, did we make a bad mistake by moving on from Mitch Morse? I don't think so. I think that was still the right move to make. And we went ahead and got Cedric Van Pan Granger. So if it obviously doesn't work out with him and there's just too many issues, you got a guy that naturally plays the center position. It's just a matter of them getting together. But I can't see it being an issue. I think it's going to be all right. I think it's going to be just fine. But yeah, man, that's it for me, folks. I hope you guys enjoyed the show. I'm back to Tuesday nights, and we're going to get things rolling and ramping. And just around the corner is the season, so we got to get this thing cracking. So do me a favor. If you guys have not liked this stream today, do me a favor. Smash that, hit that, subscribe, and let's get the algorithms rolling again and get this thing popping and roll into the season ready to go. We got the Cardinals week one. I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk. They're definitely going to try to, you know what I mean, give us that work. But I think we'll be all right. I think we'll be all right. I think we'll get things cracking, and I think we'll be set and ready to roll. So that being said, that's my time. So I appreciate y'all, and we'll do this again next week because I'm going to be out of town this weekend. Hopefully, I can try to get my stream in with Zach. What are we doing on Thursday? Because that might be the day that we got to do it. But if we can make it happen on Friday, then sure. But I got to get a flight. I got a wedding to go to. And then I'm back at it again next week. So back on track. So that being said, folks, it's the Rico Report. It's the Buffalo Fanatics. I appreciate y'all. And I will catch you guys on the flip side. Until next time, it's your boy. And I'm gone. Y'all have a good one. Peace. It's a repo. The opponents got to call up Triple O. Bills Mafia. We heating up. We too electrical. We got Bean to plug. Electric show. We wired up. Hit up Rico. He fired up. We know where we stand on the power ranking. Other teams fans in the comments hating. We block them all. We protecting Josh. Salute to him. He the general now. Rico got legends for interviews. How the Buffalo Bills got the best fan base. Away games. Red, white, blue in the crowd. Hey, I'm a Buffalo fanatic. Play good. Be humble. Number 17, the captain. I'm a Buffalo fanatic. I'm a Buffalo fanatic. I'm a Buffalo fanatic. I'm a Buffalo fanatic. Hey, I'm a Buffalo fanatic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.